The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 46th verse. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. My dearest siblings in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, our holy Creator, and Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. It's always fascinating to me how this happens, even though I should be used to it by now, but it's the circumstances of what happens in my life then matches up with Sunday. And, excuse me. Once again, I was talking to my therapist on Tuesday, and I was really wanting to get into some of the anxieties I have as a pastor in such a polarizing political time. There are moments where I feel so deeply that my faith calls me to speak up about things, and then I worry about how it's going to be received, again, in such a politically polarized time. There are issues within our faith that used to not be political issues, and now they are. And I have this thing inside of me where I want to be really, you know, well-liked by everybody. And it runs in my family. Because of that, I tend to step back from certain things. And don't worry, this is not going to be a political sermon. But as I was having this conversation with my therapist, she said, "You know, Chris, there's a pattern here. You seem to be afraid of confrontation." And then she said this, "You seem to be afraid to take risks." And I thought, of course, you're right. I mean, I obviously know this about myself. You know, and her advice was to kind of tiptoe into the waters and start taking some risks. And as I was really mulling this over, I went back to my office that morning and looked at the readings today. And the readings today are about taking risks. But not only are the readings about taking risks, Reformation Sunday, this celebration that we have every year, is about honoring the risks that a whole group of people took 500 years ago and what came from that, what we get to benefit from because of that, and how that reforming spirit lives on today in this church, in its people, in all of us, and how we live our lives. In our gospel today, this blind man, Bartimaeus, takes a huge risk. You might not notice it. In antiquity, for a man to be blind meant that either he or his parents had done something and God had cursed them through their son. So we have a man here who is forced to beg, forced to live on the outskirts of his society, who everybody thinks has been cursed by God for the sins of his parents. We have a man here who discovers hope in hearing that this Jesus of Nazareth is coming, and then takes a risk in yelling out for him. In a time where if you were any kind of a disturbance, you could have been thought to have been possessed by a demon, to have been out of your mind, again, to be cursed by God. That's why the crowd sternly rebukes him and tells him to quiet down. It's not because they're embarrassed. It's because they're trying to protect him. But this guy doesn't care. Still, he risks. He yells out. And look what happens. We don't notice it, but last week the same thing happens. The disciples tell Jesus that they want him to do something for them. They want him to glorify them. In that moment, though, when they say, Jesus, we want you to do something for us, Jesus says, well, what is it you want me to do? In this moment, this blind beggar comes to Jesus, and Jesus says the same exact thing to him. What do you want me to do? Let me see. Let me rejoin my community. Remove this perceived curse that people think of me. Bring me back to wholeness. You have one moment where Jesus' disciples, the people who should have been learning from him the best, say, glorify us, give us a position of honor. And then Jesus instructs them on what that really means. And then you have this moment where this blind beggar who has been cursed by God comes and says, please, for the love of God, just let me be part of my community again. And look what happens. One instance, these two men really don't take a risk in asking to be glorified. In this instance, this man takes a huge risk in simply asking to be whole again. And not only does Jesus give him his sight back, but he gives him this validation. It is your faith that has healed you. You, this person who lives on the outskirts of society, this marginalized, vulnerable person, it is your faith that has healed you. These disciples of mine are blind, but you already see. Your faith is what is doing this. Your understanding of God's power and God's love, that is what has given you your physical sight. All because this man took a risk. Imagine if he didn't. Luther took many risks. Risk after risk after risk, he was excommunicated. And when faced with excommunication, he didn't care. He has that famous quote, here I stand, I can do no other. I'm wearing socks that say that quote on them right now. He was then faced with death threats, with warrants from the Roman Empire. He didn't care. He took these risks. And he and his fellow pastors changed the entire world, brought this lesson that God's grace is free, that there's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to remove ourselves from it. We just get it. And changed the entire world because of the risks he was willing to make. There is a lesson in all of this, folks. If you want to experience the gospel, if you want to truly experience it in your life, if you want to experience all of this stuff that Jesus is trying to bring you to, if you actually want to go out and change your community and change the world, if you want to experience this faith the way it is meant to be experienced, ask yourself that right now. Do you really want that? Well, you have to take risks. You want to experience it? You have to take risks. You have to be able to look inside your own heart. You have to be able to look inside and see all of those places that prevent you from following this call, that prevent you from loving others. You have to find those places where you choose your ego over love. You have to open up those spaces and look at them. And you know what? That takes risk because it forces vulnerability. That is not a space that we like to go to. That is not a space that we like to look at. It hurts. But I'll tell you this, if you never take that risk, if you never look at that space inside of you, you will never find that God is right there already. You will never find that God has always been there. You will never find that God loves you right in that space. No matter what. Taking risks involves actually going out and offering forgiveness to people, whether they're asking for it or not. Taking risks involves seeking reconciliation, even when your ego doesn't want you to. And that's scary, but I'll tell you what, if you never take that risk, you're never going to find God in other people. Taking risks involves following this call. And that's really scary because I'll tell you what, and I experienced this myself, sometimes my faith and my politics don't match up. And I don't know if it's the same for you, but I imagine it is. And we all have these moments in our lives in which our faith and our politics don't match up. And I'm sad to say most of the time we choose our politics. It takes a risk to choose your faith. It takes a risk to follow the call of a man who sought peace instead of violence. A man who sought taking care of the vulnerable and the marginalized instead of making excuses for why they're there in that place in the first place. There are risks in this call. But if we don't take them, we don't experience how present God is in this world and how much this call brings us to a space to actually do something about it. We don't celebrate Reformation Sunday every year to commemorate Luther. He was just a man with some pretty serious flaws too. We commemorate the Reformation every year to keep this reforming spirit alive, to make sure that God's church doesn't stay stagnant, that God's church is always a space that can affect change in the world. That's why we do this every year. And you know what? None of that's going to happen unless we take risks. And for those of us who live in places like Solvang or any suburban area, really, those kind of middle-of-the-line folks, this might ask the most of us because we live pretty comfortable lives. And to risk that is asking a lot, isn't it? You're going to get up from here and you're going to go out of this building and you are going to have a lot of opportunities come your way. You can choose to just go on with the way things are. You can choose to not take risks, and I'll tell you what, nothing will happen. You're not going to get punished. Simply nothing will happen. Or when those opportunities come in your life, the opportunity between just doing things the way they've been done, we're following this incredible call that we have to just embrace the love that God has for us and to love the world. What risks are you willing to take? Amen. Please stand as you are able.